This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm going to continue to look at critical themes from the Scripture, I think, that are particularly applicable to the current spiritual combat that the church is engaged in. And that means each one of us is engaged in. We all are very much aware of the radical changes that are happening in the culture. We're very much aware of the divisions that are emerging in the church, that sort of the values of the world. It's always a temptation in history, friends, living in the world. You know, Jesus is challenged to us. Scripture's challenged us to be in the world, but not of the world. Jesus said to his apostles, "I've chosen you out of the world." What he's done is he's saying he's chosen them out of that fallen dimension of human existence that we talked about yesterday. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net and pick it up there. Or best way to do it is to download the Renewal Ministries app. And you can listen to the program whenever you can. And if you're blessed by the program and you'd like other people to hear it and see it, just encourage them to do the same or pass on the app to them in a way so that they have easy access to it as well and can be blessed. It's a way of helping with evangelization, you know, and sharing the goods, so to speak. So yesterday we were talking about the reality of original sin, the sin-sick condition of the human heart, and the need to be able to understand with discernment the biblical revelation, but also what the wisdom of the ages has understood about the human heart. Because in our culture today, the culture has like no limits on its confidence in whatever's being expressed in the heart of individuals. And feelings and sentiments, maybe some intuitions, are like the predominant source of human identity and authenticity. And identity and authenticity doesn't come from being rightly related to the Creator or God's plan, God's purpose. And so it doesn't surprise me when people who aren't believers in Christ go that direction. We should never be surprised when the world acts worldly. It's a different set of values. It's a fallen dimension. It's a spiritual condition. There's a corruption the Scripture talks about and says, you know, there's a darkness that's present. And in that darkness, it darkens the mind. St. Paul said it leads to, in a world where God is suppressed, it leads to folly. It leads to a depraved mind, and depraved, which leads to depraved behavior. It's the result of suppressing the truth of the designer and his plan and purpose and his goodness. As we were reading the catechism, reminded us that trust in God really has been broken in the human heart through original sin. And man's alone in the dark, and people today, human beings leaning into all the strength of man, so to speak, we're putting all our trust in men, and that's really foolish. The foolish man puts his trust in man. Don't trust even in your own ultimate understanding, but understand the light, see the light. Jesus said, without him, you know, he's the light of the world. And if you follow him, you won't walk in darkness. If you don't follow him and you're not living consistently with God and God's revelation, you're going to necessarily walk in darkness. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 talks about it this way, like, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It doesn't say just trust in your heart. It says, direct your heart to the Lord, to trusting the Lord. It says, trust the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. The Lord has come to bring you the kingdom. He's come to bring you to absolute freedom, total fulfillment, eternal joy, and sharing in his glory. And he's coming to shed light on the deception that's in the world. And the apostles exhort us, you know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't trust the world, the fallen dimensions of the world, and don't trust the fallen dimensions of your own heart. But instead, like the proverb said, trust in God. And so today, the opposite is happening. People say, no, I'm trusting in my feelings. My feelings are my reality. And more as the culture collapses, that is, as it turns away from the wisdom of God and the light of God, it's now exalting foolishness. And it's calling good evil, as I said yesterday, and evil good. And now using powers, the powers of government, to bring people to heel. That is, to bring people into the slavery that people are calling freedom. That's the kingdom of darkness. You can see it so clearly now. And so how do we make a break from that? So for the disciple begins with understanding, I'm fallen and I live in a fallen world. I'm loved by God and he's come to save and rescue me from that fall. And he loves that world. But there's a dimension of this world that has been condemned on the cross of Jesus Christ. The resistance that's in the world, this formidable power of negation and refusal that even exceeds human limits. It's rooted in a deep, dark center of hatred and lies. Jesus said, if the world hates me, it's going to hate you. Jesus spoke very clearly about the hatred that exists in the world, the secret rancor that's in the human heart against God. It's a pit of darkness. And man plunges into that darkness as we say yes to sin, as we define reality on our own terms, as we live by our own truth, when that truth is often inconsistent with God's plan. It's that abyss of pride and human rebellion. John is unmasking the apostle. You've been reading from his letters here, his gospel in the first letter of John, where he talks about the world. And John unmasks the demonic universe and the refusal and the rejection that's in the world. And the devil wants us to agree with that refusal. He wants us to buy into the values of this world. And people, unfortunately, it's easy for all of us to measure our success or our fulfillment by the acquiring of the things of the world. Jesus warned so clearly, and John echoing him again about the reality of the world. I just want to read this passage from John 15, Jesus' own words. He said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, is Jesus talking about the goodness of the world? You know, God created the world and called it good. No, it was all created through him. But he's saying there is a rebellion in this world. There is a power, a dominion, a kingdom. The ruler of this world, Jesus said, was coming after him. And that's as real today as it ever was. Jesus says so clearly to us, if you were of the world would love its own. He's talking to the apostles. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That's why. You get it? Why did the world hate the apostles? Because the apostles, Jesus, through his preaching, his teaching, his formation, he chose them out of the world. They became his follower. They looked to him as his disciples. They were learning a new way of life, the life of the kingdom. They turned away from all the things in the world that were inconsistent with that kingdom reality. They were looking to Jesus. They were looking to his teaching, to his revelation, and they were seeing the light. And so they came out of the world and the way the world had a hold on them, and they no longer said yes to it. And the world hated him for it. And that's what's happening in the world today. It's going to happen that way till the king returns, till Jesus comes to return. Remember, Jesus came the first time as a lamb to lay down his life for our salvation. And part of that salvation, first, it's becoming a new creation, having our sins forgiven, plunging us into the waters of baptism, making us a new creation, dealing with the sin problem in us, the power of original sin broken, giving us the Holy Spirit that can lead us now into a new way of living and lead us into the life that the Lord desires us to live. And the kingdom begins there in the hearts of humanity, and it grows in the church when the church is healthy. But of course, the church can be worldly, can be lukewarm, and that's what's happening to a lot of people in the church. They sound just like the world. Even clergy celebrating the madness that's in the world. And I would say, honestly, this is a sign of a darkened mind. It's an unconverted person. And that can even happen, yes, with clerics. They can be unconverted people. There's a lot of baptized people that are walking around the planet that aren't living in the light of Christ. They're not looking to Jesus for light. They're friends with the world. And here's a critical passage that, you know, Scripture gives us. 1 John talking about the world. He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. Did you hear that? This is like John the Apostle, who, you know, the friend of Jesus, the one whom Jesus loved, talking to us. He says, do not love the world. That is, don't direct your will and your dreams and your passion to the kind of things that exist in this fallen world. And he goes on, or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. Did you hear that? The person who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him or her. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passes away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. This is the mind of an apostle, friends. And Scripture describes another place, friendship with the world is enmity with God. I think it's in the letter of James. Friendship with the world, what does that mean? Get clear on the biblical definition of the world. The world is first and foremost what God created, and that is good. The whole world that he created, right? Then there's the fallen dimension the Scripture talks about often in the New Testament when it's talking about the world. The great enemies of the kingdom of God is the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is that fallen dimension we've been talking about this week, that refusal, that resistance that's in the earth, that's rooted in the demonic forces that are present in this world. It's a demonic force of hatred and lies, and you see that as we all get wiser and smarter about who the human person is. You notice how much more division there is when the world's in its twisted way is redefining the human person. You notice the level of division and lawlessness and disorder and chaos that's in the world. That is a sign. This is the very thing. It's the power of the world. And a lot of people are loving the world. A lot of people are buying into that lie, and they're living that lie. And at its source, this is rooted in the abyss of pride and rebellion. That's what Jesus said. If you're in it, and John describes it this way, for this is what's in the world, the lust of the flesh, all the pleasures of the flesh that are inconsistent with God's revelation. There's all kinds of lists in the New Testament that describe it. We know what it is. This is the world. And the world works on the fallen dimension in my life, the flesh, the Bible calls it, right? That's the part in me that resists the will of God and just loves pleasure. And the overindulgence in the pleasures of this life. And also the lust of the eyes. What does he mean here? He means the things that glitter. You know, money and diamonds and gold and all these kinds of things that are attractive to the eye. We plunge ourselves, we pursue these kinds of things. Human beings are radically in the pursuit of them. And we find our solace. We look for solace in those things and they become idols for us. We actually live for those pleasures. We live for those possessions. And the third thing he says, first, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the pride of life, what is that? It's human beings and their self-exaltation and seeking the honors and the rewards of this world and pathways to it that are inconsistent with the love of God and the humility of God. And Jesus saying, no, come and learn from me. I'm meek and I'm humble of heart. Don't go the way of pride. And I will not serve. Everyone will serve me. Look at me, how powerful and influential I am. And I want to wield power over people. I want to be famous, the star of the screen, you know, that kind of thing. No, Jesus said, learn from me. That's a death-directed destiny that you're being tempted to follow in this fallen world. Make a break from that. Be in the world and not of the world. Friendship with the world literally makes us enemies of God. And friends, there's such a lack of discernment in this lack of ability to see the world as it is, and Christians, disciples just sort of frolicking in that world and embracing it, and then trusting the sin sick condition of their heart without aligning it with God's will and purpose. Hope you can join me tomorrow. God bless you. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.